With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, recording is in progress. Zoom just told me. That means we're live. John, are you here?
Brandon, welcome back.
Thank you. Happy to be back. And Stu is also here. Hi, Stu.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. Well, welcome to The Sportive. This is episode 338, most likely. And we're going to start this episode out the same way we start out all our episodes, which is a quick update on how Cannon Falls football is doing. John?
Well, you know, the one thing the listeners love on this podcast is when we talk about live scores, and doubly so when we talk about high school football scores. So I've got a couple of playoff scores for you tonight. First of all, the most important game of the night, Ortonville is currently losing to Sleepy Eye 14-0 at home.
That's nothing.
So
that's nothing for Ortonville.
Ortonville's got to pick it up in the fourth quarter.
I got this.
And also, in a game of interest to Chicken, who is not here because he's at this game, currently in the third quarter, Cannon Falls is just, they're eking one out over Pine Island 53-0 at this point. 53-0 right now.
God Christ. Monsters of Cannon Falls.
And when I was looking up the score, I also discovered that 11 days ago, these two teams also played then. And the final score was Pine Island 13, Cannon Falls 80.
Oh.
80-13. And
Dynasty.
Rushing yards in that game, mm-hmm. Pine Island rushed for -3 yards. Cannon Falls rushed for 638 yards.
I was expecting a lot, and you still got me.
that's even a lot for if you thought I was joking. That's mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the first round of the high school playoffs are ridiculous in Minnesota.
Rest in power, Pine Island. We hardly knew you. Are we cheering for Cannon Falls? Because
obviously
Chicken would be happy. Or
yeah.
We want them to lose so he can come back to our beloved podcast more quickly. What do you care about, him or you?
I care about him. Well, mostly I care.
Not me.
There's nobody more hateful in the world than Chicken's son, who just absolutely ruins Chicken's life on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And I think he's on the team. So we're cheering for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What did he do for MEA? He dragged Chicken to St. Cloud so he could watch Mankato State get fucking drilled by St. Cloud State.
The Gophers were playing North Dakota. The Gophers were playing North Dakota, which, you know, obviously one of the great series, one of the things you want to be at. So his son naturally dragged him to St. Cloud versus Mankato.
Oh, delightful. That God, that just made me so happy.
Yep. Chicken once again wins the Angry Father of the Year award.
That poor, miserable man.
Okay, on to actual football. Can we do that?
Actual football, not any of this fake football.
On to older man football. We always love starting with our beloved Vikings. Stu, as our resident Vikings diehard, you, about a month ago now, predicted that the Vikings would be 9-8. You were more optimistic about them than the rest of us, probably combined. Mm-hmm. Now you now have the floor to either brag or amend your wins total. 9-8 is what you started with.
Yeah. Boy. Do you want to know some of the quarterbacks that are left in the Vikings schedule? Do I ever? Okay.
Please hit me.
Sam Ehlinger.
I don't even know if that's how its name is pronounced.
I don't either. I'm not going to look it up. Taylor Heinicke.
Sam Ellinger. Taylor Heinicke. Former Zach Viking?
Wilson. Yeah, I think so. Zach Wilson. We got, who else have we got? We got Bailey Zappi here.
Bailey Zappi.
Another date with Justin Fields and Jared Goff.
Okay, my God.
You're going to have to accept the fact that the Vikings are going to win double-digit games this year and probably win the NFC North.
I'm not ready for this.
Come to grips with it.
No.
Nope, you're going to have to come with it. Nope, you have to.
There's so much that can go wrong.
Oh, yeah. I think my 9-8 prediction could absolutely still pan out.
Sure.
Because, I mean,
well, they have 5 wins right now. Yes. Yep. 5 wins.
Yeah.
You just named, I think, 6 quarterbacks that were all very bad. So they could lose one to Sam Erlinger, as you said.
Yes.
And still have 10 wins. So they'd have to drop a couple and then not win any of the other ones against decent quarterbacks. And we're also playing Kyler Murray this week, who is not great either. So
he's not playing well this year. He's got DeAndre Hopkins back.
Call him D-Hop.
Yeah, they lost a heartbreaker to them last year on the last play of the game. But, God.
It's just all set up for him, Stu.
It is literally this. It was 3 weeks ago after the Gophers demolished Michigan State, we were talking about Jesus. The entire West is open for them. Right. And then they basically just pooped everywhere for 3 straight weeks, even 4 straight weeks if you count the bye week, which they did.
They were 0-1 in the bye week.
Yes. So, yes, if anything can go wrong, it usually does.
Yep.
But the rest of the NFC absent Philadelphia is not good.
Now, I'm so confused. You mentioned some very bad quarterbacks there, and those are only the bad quarterbacks that the Vikings are playing. Yes. There's a whole bunch of other bad quarterbacks that we aren't playing. My question to you is, I feel like it was like 3 years ago when we were talking about the vast majority of teams had like pretty good quarterbacks. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, I feel like there's like 8 good quarterbacks left. Mm-hmm. And then you're down to your PJ Walkers and whatnot. Yes.
You could argue that Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback and that not being a compliment to Kirk Cousins.
Right. Yeah. You got to go, come on. Is he having a down year?
Just by getting 1 year older, somehow that made him better.
Not falling off as precipitously as Russell Wilson and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have all at the same time.
Matt Ryan. Bill Rivers is gone.
Come back. You never know.
Listen, the guy has like 14 kids. He's going to want to get out of the house.
Need the money. Now.
Right.
If you need somebody down 8 with 2 minutes left, that's your guy to be leading the charge.
Well, like Derek Carr. That's his name, right? For the Raiders.
Derek Carr's good. Derek Carr's like a goddamn legend.
He was the same player 4 seasons ago, and he was like the 23rd best quarterback.
Correct.
They just all like Baker Mayfield, horse shit. Like
Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback at this point.
He's good.
Danny Dimes. His team is John's guy, Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones from the New York Giants.
He's fine. I mean, Russell Wilson got very bad. So that's another. There's probably like 5 or 6 guys who are good. Just completely dropped out, and no one really replaced them, right?
Right.
I don't think we talk enough about how Daniel Jones and Mac Jones are identical twins quarterbacking different teams in the NFL. That's a real accomplishment.
That is cool. Yeah. They keep it under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody replaced them.
Yeah, Justin Herbert was supposed to be like the future, and he got hurt in the first week, and he's been struggling all year ever since he got injured.
And like Dak Prescott never got any good. He's just okay.
He was okay last week. I mean, he beat the Lions. So did the Vikings. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
I think they play the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So that's one of the actual, like, might be good quarterbacks who they play.
Right.
But it's just, I mean, after they lose to Buffalo in a couple of weeks, there's not a lot of sadness left.
Smooth sailing.
They'll
still figure out a way to drown.
There's
but
so much sadness.
I know.
Drowning in a puddle, face down in a puddle on the sidewalk and drowning.
I'm just telling you that they're just, I mean, okay, the Jets and the Giants are like both really good this year record-wise, like the Vikings, but nobody believes in them.
No.
So their upcoming schedule looks deceptively difficult because the Giants are 6-1 and the Jets are 5-2. But who gives a shit? If they're the Jets and the Giants, sure.
Yeah, great. But can't you say the exact same thing about the Vikings?
Yeah.
They're good record-wise and nobody believes in them?
Yeah. Them winning 10 or 11 games, I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying I think they might win 10 or 11 games.
They're absolutely going to win 10 or 11 games. You can, right. Wade, make sure to timestamp that one.
Yep.
But yeah.
October 25th, 8:49 p.m.
Just again, and obviously injuries could play. I mean, if the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins, then yes, they will be in trouble. God, I heard myself say that just now.
Oh, boy.
You didn't even. Oh, boy. But yeah, it's. NFL's weird this year, man. I mean, it's weird every year, but
it's bad. It's bad this year.
Yeah. Like, the product is not good. I mean, when you get a halfway decent Thursday night game between Arizona and New Orleans and Al Michaels is like almost like coming in the broadcast booth. He's so happy. He's just, there's like points happening and it's just,
It's been random in years past, and that's been kind of the newsworthy thing. But for the past 3-4 years, I found myself drawn to watching the NFL more. And I've talked about it on this podcast a bunch just because I thought like the quarterbacks are good and fun. So I want to watch it. And I have very little interest in any of these games. Mm-hmm. Monday night was, we just talked about a couple of those guys.
Justin Fields, Bailey Zappi, Mac Jones, a platoon.
Right. Right. Just
Belichick's going with a platoon.
Just that's miss me with all going. Of that.
He's got Scott Lais and Mike Pagliarulo going in there and just getting drilled by the fucking Chicago Bears at home by 19 points.
It's just an awful year for quarterbacks. Yes. I'm going to look up total QBR right now. Mahomes and Josh Allen are up there. That's very good, right?
Yeah, they're great.
Now, Tua is third, which is interesting because I watched a half of football and saw the defenders drop like 14 possible interceptions.
Yeah.
So that's also a little smoke and mirrors.
Coming back from a couple of injuries, some of them fairly serious.
Right, right. True. But he should not, if he's our third best quarterback in the NFL.
He had a brain injury.
He did have a brain injury. Yeah, I'm not blaming him, but he should not be third. There should be other quarterbacks who are better than Tua. The fourth right now is Geno Smith.
Geno Smith, a guy, to your point, a guy who flamed out of the league in 2013 and 14. He was a starter for Jets for like a year and a half and has just been Tavares Jackson. He's been Cade McNown for the last 8 years. And now he's like a top six quarterback, both fantasy wise and stats wise. It makes no sense.
And then nothing you got Lamar Jackson fifth. Okay. He's pretty fun to watch. And then again, we're Daniel Jones, Derek Carr, very Cooper nice. Rush. I guess Jalen Hurts is good. I like Jalen a lot.
Jalen Hurts is really fun.
Mariota? Cooper Rush. What? Mariota? What? He's not. He should be like the 40th best quarterback, not the 10th.
Yeah. I didn't even know Atlanta had a team this year. I thought they just.
Yeah, I thought they just paused.
Yeah. We got to figure some shit out here.
out of an abundance of caution, we've chosen to have a team this year.
The Atlanta Falcons are sleeping on your couch.
We'll be taking a gap year. We'll see you all next year. Yeah, what an odd season. Maybe it'll get more fun. I don't know.
I mean, it's the Vikings are going to be in the playoffs. It's fun. It's great.
It is going to be fun. Yeah. And there
they're
is
going to get absolutely fucking boat raced by the Eagles if they play him again. But
yeah, it's the Eagles that's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah. One good NFC team right now.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a second one. Might be the Vikings. Might be someone we're not even thinking of right now. So who knows?
Stu, can I ask you a favor? Can you say the name of the Atlanta NFL team again?
The Atlanta Flacons.
Is that not right? Isn't that the Flacons?
Okay. Carry on.
Okay, let's look at this week. I was a little surprised. Surprised? We're just not saying words anymore.
Whoa, this is going downhill fast. I like it. Let's see where this goes.
We're all having slow motion strokes.
The king has no pants.
I was a little surprised and dismayed. Okay, surprised and dismayed. I don't know why those are two hard words for me to say. Let's keep going. That they are only 3-point favorites at home against Arizona this week. Do I have that right? That seems a little.
That's just, so, yeah. That's basically a toss up.
If you were the odds makers, there's absolutely no sense in not making the Vikings just to push every week.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be, you know, a double doink field goal, a 53 yard pass with 2 minutes left on the clock, something. It's just going to be something one way or the other.
Yeah. They have, they've hit their quota for crazy shit happening at the end of the games already.
Yeah.
But a lot of time left too.
Again, that's how all the games last year were, and they lost all of them. Mm-hmm. So regression can sometimes regress in your favor.
You do have to say, I know it's early. I know small sample size. I know that you can't prove the correlation between these things. But in terms of Camp Happy Fun Times providing good vibes that are allowing the Vikings to win these games instead of lose these games, maybe that's the secret. Maybe the coach is going around, finger guns in the hallway to everybody going, hey, buddy, I believe in you. Have a great day today.
This is very good trolling. Very good trolling. I see what you're doing here, and I like it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they took their bye week, and the only trouble in bye week is a backup lineman got in trouble in Miami. That's
nothing for us.
That's nothing.
For the Vikings, that's one of their best bye weeks ever.
That's like Justin Jefferson should have, like, hijacked a school bus and drove it into the mall. I mean, that's the type of shit we're talking about usually. And, yeah, it's one of those – it's there are signs and there are portents. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay. Timestamp that one as well.
Which is the worst place to be in with the Minnesota Vikings.
Let's meet back here after they pull the Gophers.
Yeah, I know. Listeners, we were talking in the green room beforehand. We didn't even talk about the Gophers. That's how sad Gophers football has gotten in a month.
Miserable. It's so Jim Wacker-like all of a sudden.
It hurt so bad. The expectations were there, and they just went away. And yet the Vikings have Arizona this week. Then I believe it's somebody, Dallas, New England. Buffalo's in there somewhere. It'll be something. We'll have a better answer on Thanksgiving night after the Vikings handle Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones. I'm predicting the Vikings are going to beat the New England Patriots.
Drop to 5-6 on the season.
Yeah, to get to 5-6. Yeah. So come back to the Sportive on Thanksgiving weekend, everybody. There will be a Black Friday sale, and we'll see how stupid I sound right now.
I love the optimism that we'll be still recording. I mean, we're recording now. We're not going to be doing another one until mid-December, I assume.
Yeah, you never know. We're just doing our best, taking it one day at a time.
One day.
Not getting too high, not getting too low, letting the chips probably make of 110% out here.
That's right. Are you as into the NFL this year as you are prior years, Stu? Or are you kinda,
I have more time now.
That's right.
I'm not sharing the entertainment channels with anyone else. So, it's just, you know, something. I mean, I don't, we cut the cord. So I usually don't watch the ESPN game or if there's an NFL network game, I don't really give a shit one way or the other, unless it's like the Vikings or something like that. So I'm watching the Thursday night game but not intently. Obviously the games have been so bad. You can like do whole projects with the game on in the background. And watching it like I normally do, just a little more of it because I can.
Yeah. What do you think Zim Dog's thinking about all this?
Oh, right now? He's got to be, I don't know what he's got to be firing an offensive coordinator somewhere. I don't know.
The local, through the chain link fence at the high school. Hey,
get over Friday here. Friday night lights, standing where you the go, coaches pal. Run off the field.
Yep.
You're out of here.
Yep.
Just walking his dog, just tried to fire me.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, so, man. Yep. That's tough. Okay. That's football.
That's football, everybody.
Good football segment.
Oh, can we talk about the Packers?
Oh, of course.
They're very funny.
It's so fun. It's so fun just to watch them struggle and lose and just struggle and lose at the same time.
Aaron Rodgers is 26th in QBR right now.
He's so bad. And his receivers are worse. Mm-hmm.
Better than Aaron Rodgers in QBR. Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
Matt Ryan. Mitch Trubisky.
Hell yeah.
Oh, there's more. Jacoby Brissett and on and on.
Man, this is just every, yeah, like I said, it's, I'm enjoying it right now. You know, we know it's like you're on a run at the casino and you know it can't last, but maybe it will. You know, that's,
we should ask any Packer fans, you think it's time to swing a trade for Trubisky? Upgrade your quarterback situation?
Yeah, well, when they're out of family court, they'll take that question from you. Sorry, was that was mean. Sorry.
That has been one of the best parts of the NFL this year.
They're great.
Really, really bad.
They're playing at Buffalo this week on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that'll be fun.
It will be. Good. All right.
And of course, now that we're talking about it like that, the Vikings lose to Arizona and they get their shit together and beat Buffalo on the road for a really impressive victory. Mm-hmm. But I don't think either one of those things will happen, honestly. I really don't.
I enjoyed Aaron Rodgers saying the loss was actually good.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That's what a shaman tells him to say. It's one of those contrarian things.
Like, he said it while wearing a bathrobe. During a press conference, he was wearing just a bathrobe.
Yeah, I saw that. He's just cracking up right now. It's great. It's between that and Tom Brady's struggles, being the most divorced man in America and having to spend all that time in Tampa.
Yep.
And it's just, Schadenfreude is the victor, of the early NFL season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we move on? Other sports?
Sure. John said he wanted to talk about Formula One.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this Formula One season.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. Let's start out with the Minnesota Timberwolves, Jonathan.
Oh, Brandon, I think we made a good decision not doing a Timberwolves preview until four games had already gone by in the season.
Uh-huh.
And it is, you talk about bad vibes. There are no worse vibes than those that are emanating from the Timberwolves right now.
And I don't like, it's not even Gobert being the fault of the bad vibes.
No.
I don't think. At least
I have been impressed by Rudy Gobert. I obviously had seen Gobert play, but now seeing him up close for four games, I didn't realize just how utterly incompetent he is at basketball if he's more than 3 feet away from the basketball hoop. It's amazing. Like, if he's right next to it, he can dunk, he can lay the ball in, no problem. Mm-hmm. If he's anywhere outside the protected area and he tries to shoot, it's like somebody
Shaq
took
his
hands off and put them back on the wrong arms. It's unbelievable.
Even passing is like, just come over to me and I'll hand it to you.
Yeah.
Just come here. I'll hand it to you.
Somehow he ended up on like the block about 5 feet away from the hoop and he tried to turn and shoot and he was being covered by somebody who's about 6 inches shorter. So all he had to do was turn around and just sort of do that first shot in an around the world game. And it was like, it just shot out of his hands and missed the rim. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I just think like the bad vibes are coming from guys who shouldn't be giving off bad vibes. Ant, lazy, D'Lo, lazy, Jade McDaniels follows every 30 seconds. Really bad times right now. Like four games, I get it, but just the way that the games have gone, even the wins have been pretty brutal. I mean, I've been busy, so I haven't really been able to watch more than I don't know if I've watched a game cumulatively. So I can't say I have as much experience on this season probably as you both do, but what I've seen has been pretty ugly.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple of games, they'd be leading by 15 at the end of the first quarter, and everyone get excited, and then somehow they'd be down by 15 in the third quarter. It doesn't feel like anything's working. They've got Gobert, who is just Gobert. Gobert, at least, is always himself. Mm-hmm. He's never trying to be anything he's not. But then you've got just three extremely strange, different ways of guys who seem to believe that they should be like the number one guy on the team and are going about it wildly differently. You got Ant, who thinks he should be a superstar, but has no idea how to be a superstar.
He shot like 4 for 17 one game.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Just it's like he watched tape of nothing but Kobe Bryant on his very worst nights and is just imitating that.
Right.
And you've got Kat, who is just, he's just the weirdest dude, man. He's like, he wants everybody to be happy, but he also has a huge ego, but he wants everyone around him to be. So he's like trying to pass to Gobert. And the first game he tried to throw about 15 lobs to Gobert and it worked fine. But then he's trying to get himself into the game. And meanwhile, you got D'Lo over there. Honestly, D'Lo's like trying to pull off his D'Lo act that he was good at when he had nobody else on his team. But now that he has other players on his team, he's almost a liability. Like the best thing they could do with D'Lo, the best thing they could do is put him on the second unit with a bunch of worse players, and then he can just be the top dog on that unit.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's worth trying.
Put D'Lo out there with Slow-Mo and Austin Rivers and Naz Reid or something, and D'Lo's pretty useful. When you got other guys who want to take shots, he's pretty not useful.
Yeah, I also just Towns. He's just like basketball Kirk Cousins to me. Like,
yeah,
very good, but so annoying. I just cannot handle the press conferences. I can't handle his behavior on the court. He just doesn't, besides being awesome, which he is, he's not as good as he thinks he is. And I just am like, I don't know.
We've talked about it a whole bunch in this podcast, but it is strange to me that he has never learned how to moderate his behavior on the court. And part of that is, I remember talking about this before on the podcast, every time he goes to the hoop, he's complaining about getting fouled. And there's two reasons for that. Number one, like I said, he can't moderate his behavior. He's been in the league for 45 years now, and he still hasn't learned. And number two, he's getting horribly fouled every time he goes to the basket. There are dual reasons for this, but one sort of feeds into the other. Like, he doesn't get the calls partially because he's constantly complaining.
And
you would think that at some point he would learn, but he just can't learn.
Yeah. It's basically, you know, the picture, the meme of the heartbreaking, the worst person, you know, just made a great point or whatever that photo is online. Mm-hmm. That should be a photo of Karl Anthony Towns. Because I hate that he is right a lot of the time. He just goes about it the worst possible way. He's just flailing and kicking and screaming. And he is who he is. Yes, you're right. Yeah. He
would have been a great soccer player.
Yeah. He's just not going to change. And I don't know why we keep thinking he might. So I just don't want this to become the Tibbs season where they're like good and competent, but I just don't like watching them. I'm not worried about it yet.
But I'm a tiny bit worried about it.
Wolves Twitter's in full blown panic. It's DEFCON 1.
This new look Timberwolves team is everyone was talking about how is this going to work? How is this going to work with Towns and Gobert? And a lot of that focused on how is that going to work offensively? And well, this will work perfectly because Kat is, you know, the best shooting big man in league history. But the problem that they keep running into is all these guys that they want to have on the court together, they also have to be on the court defensively. And this team would be so much better if they could, every time they ran back on defense, they could sub in a different player on defense and then sub somebody like changing on the fly. Because I think every team they've played so far has figured out, you know, if we put four guys who can shoot around the perimeter, they've got two guys who are among the slowest guys in the league that are not going to be able to run out to the three-point line and defend anybody. So all we got to do is just pass the ball around until somebody's wide open. And I mean, that's two of the slowest guys in the league, plus D'Lo, who's not going to do much, and plus Ant, who suddenly is giving no effort whatsoever. And, you know, like you said, McDaniels follows somebody every time he turns around. So it's not good.
Yeah, and then even then, there are these runs where they go up by 15 in a matter of a few minutes. And you can totally see it working. It seems unstoppable when it's going well. It seems really easy for them. And not a whole lot of teams, even the teams that win, that's not always the vibe. But it's just, yeah, it's not going to take much. I mean, 3 wins in a row happens all the time. It could happen and they'll be 5-2 in a week. And we're like, oh, that's great. That's a very good record for, you know, this part of the season. And so it could happen. It could turn around. It's just the way they've been getting their asses kicked, like effort wise. That's no bueno. No one wants to watch that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Correct. Well, we'll see what happens.
Brandon?
Stay tuned.
Brandon, do you have any thoughts on the Los Angeles Lakers?
It can always be worse. It can always be worse.
One of the Timberwolves were way older and had bigger contracts. That's the Lakers right now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. They, I will never understand what on earth happened between winning the NBA championship and trading away all their good role players for a very bad player in Russell Westbrook that everyone knew, everybody, every single idiot casual fan knew on planet Earth, this shit ain't gonna work. And it has been even worse than everybody said. It's been unbelievable how bad that guy got.
It not only has not worked, it has been actively the worst thing to happen to any NBA team.
They traded him for, like, I don't remember the exact particulars, but let's say like four quality rotation players. Halfway, a third of the way through the season, if they would have called back and to Washington and said, oh, God, we're embarrassed. This is not working. Can we have one of those guys back? They would have hung up the phone. Right. That's how quickly his trade value completely plummeted. If they called right now and said, hey, we gave you Kuzma. We gave up Caruso. We gave up KCP and somebody else. Can we just get Kuzma back? That's it. You can keep all the other guys. Just give us the one guy. They would just laugh and laugh and laugh. It would never happen again. I don't know if I put it on Twitter. They were winning the other day and they were up by 7, and then Russell Westbrook was on the bench and they brought him back out, and he immediately was the worst 4-minute stretch of anybody I've ever seen play basketball. And of course they lost, and he was a huge reason for it. Oh, I can't even believe. Think of trying to cheer for this, like, actual. I have friends who are actual Laker fans, you know, like lifelong.
Yeah.
I haven't even been able to check in.
Wow.
Just a little too raw.
A little bummer for them that the Yankees lost too.
Yeah, exactly. And Alabama got beat in college football the other week.
Cowboys are playing well though, so they got that going.
At least they're Cowboys. Yeah, that's it is very good news for the Timberwolves though, because they are fucking broke as a team. And so that's one less team for us to probably worry about getting into the playoffs and whatnot.
I will say, having mentioned the Lakers, this is kind of appropriate. Maybe trading the two guys from the starting lineup that had any energy on a nightly basis was not a great idea. Pat Bev and Vanderbilt, you know, Vando, at least every night they were out there doing something. And I'm not saying that Pat Bev and Jared Vanderbilt, we loved them, but I'm not saying they're amazing players anything, but they did bring some effort. They did bring some energy every single night.
Mm-hmm. There's also a reason Pat Bev changes teams every 4 or 5 months.
I know. It's a 1-year maximum. It's really got to wear that guy.
I mean, everyone loves him. And then there's the 6th month of Pat Bev.
Basketball Pierzynski.
He really is exactly like this all the time. Oh my God, we've got to trade him.
They tried to do like an on, like before, like the Lakers fouled somebody and the other team was about to shoot free throws. There's usually like a few seconds there. The defensive team, like Pat Bev, tried to huddle everybody up for like 2 seconds. And this was game 2, and Russell Westbrook just walked away and went to stand on the line. He's like, no, we're not doing this, Pat Bev. He's already done with them. It was maybe the first game, actually. First or second game of the season. Oh, man.
Amazing.
The vibes. Nothing better or worse that I think I've ever seen. So I don't know what they're going to do, but they are very screwed.
It's fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, I still love LeBron. I think I just will always love LeBron.
Yeah, but, he's the greatest basketball player of my lifetime, but he's not a general manager. Maybe he will be someday, but he is not a GM.
Nope. No, he is not.
He could be an utterly amazing coach.
Yeah.
Possibly.
But a GM, he's not.
You'll just never know the story, but if you were able, and maybe I've talked about this before, some sort of sodium pentothal truth serum for everybody involved in that Westbrook trade, and just to sit everybody down and be like, whose idea? Who brought this up? Who has to take blame for this? Because I'm just so who's that dumb to actually think this is going to work? And I have to assume Occam's razor is LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, right? Like, they were probably the three who kind of put their heads together and said, this is going to work, dudes. And Palinka was like, oh, all right.
Okay.
I don't know. Oof. I don't know how he didn't see that coming. Not a GM. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
No problem. I figured you'd like to talk about that.
Do you have anything else to say about the Timberwolves, Brandon? This is sort of the season preview.
This is your preview.
The four
Brandon.
Games in.
This is your
season
time.
Preview.
Why not? Why not now?
Yeah,
Pickens,
you know,
not even here to yell at you.
Where I fell on the Gobert trade was two things. I was back and forth on it. You could very easily see a scenario where it's a disaster. And you could very easily see a scenario, if you want to, that it's incredible. Like, it's 4 years of a great player. But I fell back on that one with two things. Number one, YOLO. Let's just do it and be legends. Love it.
Right.
And number two, I trust Chris Finch. And if Chris Finch wanted this to happen, they made the trade happen. He has enough pull in that organization where he was not going to be railroaded if he was like, no, this is awful. I don't want to play two bigs. I don't want to do that. Let's not do it. They wouldn't have done it. So that's kind of my same feeling on the Wolves right now, is like, I think that they will figure something out. They've got too much talent. I do miss Jared Vanderbilt a lot. I miss Pat Bev a tiny bit. But Vanderbilt
anyone has ever missed Pat Bev.
Yeah. Not like a full game changer in any regard. So they will. And Ant is, he's kind of one of these guys where I'm not sure how much leash to give him. I do find it refreshing and charming when he has a bad game. And at the end of the game, he goes, I was really bad tonight. Like, I sucked. I got to get better. I know exactly what I did wrong. This is a bummer. I'll get better. I like that. But how many times can he say that before he go, all right, dude, you actually have to get better. You can't just keep admitting that you were bad. And again, he's young, so it's, that time is not now, but he does have to, like, they all have to get better. I still have faith in Edwards for sure. I still think Gobert is really good, and I'm just done with Towns. But I love him, but I'm done with him. I don't know how to, that doesn't.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Make any sense, but
I know. It's like, it's the opposite of Andrew Wiggins, who you hated him and he kept coming back and back and back. Towns you love, but you're just ready to be over him.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what they're going to do to figure it out. But again, I trust Finch to do his best. And they have looked good at times. It's weird because they're like Jalen Noel and, well, Kyle, Anderson hasn't played, but Nas has had good moments. They have the pieces are there. Yeah. Just got to put them together. If they got to stagger Towns and Gobert, that's fine. Do that.
Well, I mean, as everybody points out, those guys are going to play 62 games apiece at best. So right. The fact that Naz Reid hasn't played all that much is he's going to have serious minutes for a lot of this season.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm not pushing the panic button. I am pushing the I'm worried already. Yeah. And there's a two little buttons. Embarrassed about it. But
there's one labeled panic and there's one labeled. Ugh. And we're right. We're pushing that. Ugh. But yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of damp and soggy, but it's
damp and soggy is
you don't feel good pushing it, but it's
there's
like
condensation on it. You gotta wipe your finger out. It doesn't feel like water, it might be oil. You can't figure out what's on the button.
You're using the end of your sleeve over your finger.
Yeah.
I don't want to touch it.
Why is this button greasy? I don't get it.
Yeah. Yep. Pressing the greasy button. thank you. Thank you again.
Here to help.
Okay, let's check in on the Wild real quick. John, I think that we all agreed when we did our Wild preview that we did off, we didn't do it on the podcast, that our collective favorite player, all four of us this year, was Fred.
Oh my gosh.
Fred Goodrow, number one first-line center. We all love him. How's our boy Fred doing?
How's Gator doing? We call him Gator on the podcast here. Gator Goodrow.
It has been a long, long time since I can remember a player who the opinion of the coaching staff and the opinion of the fans diverged quite so much. Fred Goodrow is somehow he's Dean Evason's favorite player, his favorite player of all time. At every turn, whatever is ailing the Wild, Evenson's answer is to give Fred Goodrow more ice time. You can't figure out what's going wrong with the Wild. Oh, they're having trouble finding a center to put in between Kaprizov and Zuccarello. Who should do this job? Should it be one of the many talented offensive players that the Wild have who have played center before? No. Let's go with career AHL second liner, Fred Goodrow. It's unbelievable. It's like we have speculated on this podcast before about whether he might be the coach's son, because that's the only way we could possibly explain how this has happened. It's unbelievable. And as unfortunately for Chicken, as he says, I'm not going to call a grown man Freddy. Fred got a point tonight, which has been sad.
Hell yeah. Because there we go, Gator.
As Chicken has been pointing out for five games, currently he's tied with you and me in scoring, despite getting a ton of ice time, including power play time. And up until tonight, he's being outscored by the backup goaltender this year. But now he's tied. He's tied with Philip Gustavson after getting only 53 minutes tonight or whatever he played. So,
I'm John, correct tonight, me if I'm wrong, but is he being, and he's like crowding out like one of the young kids, like Rossi or whatever, yeah, right?
Well, I mean, Marco Rossi, it's a little bit hard to know what to do with him because it's not like he's been playing well, but at the same time, he's 19 years old. So what you'd like to see is for them to sort of slowly bring him along, give him more and more responsibility as he goes. But instead, what they seem to be doing is punishing him before anybody else for some reason, even though he's played bad, but so is everyone. Everyone has played badly. I don't know. I don't get it. Tonight, apparently, they looked good. They defended well. Marc-Andre Fleury played, and he only gave up one goal. He stopped a penalty shot, and he made 26 saves, and the team played good defense, and they got scoring from guys like Goodrow and Brandon Duhaime. And so maybe that'll temper some of the problems, but for the last couple of weeks, it's been like, what's going to happen first? Is Dean going to get fired, or is Fleury going to retire first? And by, I don't mean like 2 years down the road. I mean, are either of them going to last until Thanksgiving? So having that sort of turnaround tonight it feels better. It's less angry, but it feels better.
Now, Wild fans are also choosing between the two buttons, or is there a third button?
I don't know. That's a good question. There's definitely the panic button, and the panic mm-hmm. button has been repeatedly mashed for the last 2 weeks. It's getting worn out. The label's sort of getting worn off.
The third button gives you like one of those aluminum bottles of Mick Golden Draft.
I believe. That's right. The third button washes and waxes your Ford Super Duty.
God damn it, Mark Dollar, that's really good.
Super Duty was good.
That's also good.
I don't know what the second button. I made Stu laugh, and now I want to be done talking for the rest of the podcast. Please
pull a Costanza.
Yep, I'm out.
See you later.
Oh God.
Good.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Good
stuff. Let's. I've got one sneak attack segment, and then we'll get to Stu's vaunted top six.
Oh sweet.
Is it about high school football again? Because Orton
back to
Orton
high school lost. Football.
Ortonville okay. lost.
They did.
Sorry to report. At home in the playoffs.
We have two segments that we've tried out a few times. They're not an every week segment, but they do happen every once in a while. One is called Eating with Chicken, where we talk about food with chicken. And the other one's called Drinking with Stew, where we talk about drinking with Stew. Mm-hmm. And so this week I want to talk about drinking with Stew specifically. Stew, do you have any strategies on how to avoid or minimize a hangover? What's your game plan here?
A lot of water and a couple of Advil before bed is usually the right call, even if it's not super effective if you've really gone hard. I know that I had a pharmacist friend of mine who always said liquid IV, like an actual IV and a couple of Benadryl, and then just wake up 10 hours later. But I don't think a lot of people in our audience are hooking themselves up to IVs.
Oh, yeah, man. I got my IV closet I'll go to. That'll
yeah, so unless you have access to that type of function.
That's kind of a cool, like, that's a newer, like, bachelor party thing as you go get an IV the next day. The guys that I've had do it
I got a sound effect for this segment.
Okay. That's good.
Nice.
My buddies had a bachelor party a couple months ago. I wasn't able to make it, and they did the IV the next day, but they were so far gone. They're like, I don't know. I don't think it worked, you know, just because at that point it is, you're poisoning your body. So there's like only limits to like how much you can do to counteract poison. It's like,
that seems like a 20-year-old, like when you're 25.
Yeah. I was a little surprised.
Terrible hangover and you get an IV. It's like, all right, we're back at it. When you're in your 40s, that's not going to help.
Yeah, you're just done. The next day, you're just
you're dead.
Done.
You have don't to sleep until you're now dead.
You're on the couch. You're watching HBO Max. You're like hopefully getting like a diner breakfast to go or something. Just
right.
You're just useless. The body, the recovery time on benders, it just flat out goes away. Kids, enjoy your recovery time now because it does go away.
That's the truest thing I've experience so far about aging that people said about aging. It's the hangovers get so much worse.
Yeah, you just like, can't do it. You gotta,
it's like a 3-day operation now.
Oh yeah. Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to manage.
You overdo it. And by overdo it, I don't mean like, man, we were out so late having a rager. I mean like you had one more beer than you probably should have. Like instead of 3 and 3 hours, you had 4 and 3 hours on a Saturday. And by Tuesday, it's like, I feel okay this morning. I don't feel nearly so sore.
Yeah, and then, like the thing that gets added to it is it also like just staying up until midnight, even if you're not drinking.
Yes.
It's like, that's so late.
I know. Yes. That's why I've always said.
You know what a sensible bedtime feels like? It feels like heaven, everybody.
You can get drunk and you can stay up late, but you cannot do both.
No.
You got to pick one.
Yeah. It's just, it's hard.
Yeah. It's the
body weakens. It just does.
Yeah. Now, I do think that having a lot to eat before you even take your first sip of alcohol is very helpful.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of a defense plan. You gotta
have something in your stomach. Otherwise, it's just lightning down there.
Staying away from shots. That's an obvious one.
Stay away from shots. Stay away from high gravity beers.
That's not very hard for me anymore. I got to tell you.
No,
there are almost no circumstances in my life now where someone's like, we should do shots. Mm-hmm. And there are even fewer where I would say, okay, let's go for the shots.
The thing about it now is there used to be a time when it would be kind of like, hey, shots. I don't know. Just as like a now I don't hardly do them. But when I do, it's when it's really important to the other person. Right. It's like we never see each other. It's a wedding. It's
you're
a
an alcoholic.
Bachelor party. Yeah, it's like
you're going to jail tomorrow.
There's all some sort of thing where they bring over a shot and it's like they're again, it's not like a thing where I can be like, yeah, no. I'm not doing that. Get that out of my face. That used to be. Now it's like, this is really important to Jim here that we do a shot. It's a it's his birthday or some shit. So that's an easy one, though. And I think the other one, too, that I still have to keep learning is knowing, you know, I can have like three really good beers a night. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to turn to the bad beers.
Right.
It's time to turn to the shitty beers. And that's a hard move for me to make.
It's a hard lesson, but it's a valuable lesson, and it's a true lesson. You've got to get away from the IPAs and the Russian Imperial Stouts.
If it doesn't have the word light in the name, you're doing the wrong thing.
You're such an idiot. Just go in with a plan. Just have three good beers. That's three. That's a lot of good beers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those light beers are usually pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Even at expensive bars, you usually get a Miller High Life for like $4 or $5. Just do that. It's so much...
I just want to mention maybe the greatest bar experience of my life was my 10-year high school reunion. Having lived in the cities and gotten used to drinking in the cities, I went up to the bar at the Legion in Ortonville? Probably was at the Legion. And you know, I'd run into some people I hadn't seen for a few. So I was like, all right, I need six beers. And you know, he hands me six Mick Golden Lights. I'm like, how much I owe you? Says $6. I was like, yeah, this is
so good.
This is good.
I won't be leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm moving back to Ortonville just for the drink praises.
Brandon, what is the last shot you've had?
I had like two shots of just vodka.
Ah.
Like a month ago at a wedding reception.
Vodka?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Jesus. Are you pledging a sorority?
I was with Danielle's
sorority. All right.
Sigma Chi, bro. Sigma Chi. I was with Danielle's cousins. I don't get to see a couple of them more than once or twice a year. Special occasion. They're better at drinking than I am. So it was really important to them. And I just got kind of talked into it. I couldn't be the guy that said no. I was the only one. It was a group of nine people or something, so I didn't want to be like the one guy. I was considering the old over the shoulder, you know, just toss it away. Yep. I didn't really see the opportunity. Just, yep. Yeah, didn't see the opportunity.
Any game.
Or I was gonna do the other thing where I was like, I got the next one, and I just get eight shots of vodka and one shot of water, and I just make sure that one's mine.
Yep.
I've done that before, but the opportunity didn't arise this time either. So yeah, that was a pretty bad one. And then I just had a 8-day excursion in New York, and it caught up to me real good.
Were you in New York for work, or was it just for fun?
I was there 4 days for work and 4 days for fun. And I wish I had been able to do it in opposite order if I had my wits about me, because it's really hard on Thursday when I've been drinking since the prior Sunday.
Oh, man.
To be like, hey, today sounds like a good day for me to take it easy. And my friends were like, well, it sounds like a good day for me to go apeshit because I just got off the plane and it's the start of my weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tough. I made it. I'm here.
I forgot
how to say that word earlier, but besides that,
well, I don't even know what word it was. Surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah. We're all surprised that I'm here.
John, what was your last shot?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I don't remember.
It's probably a good shot.
There was
a Jägermeister. It was one of the two.
like 2 years ago, I don't actually remember. This might have even been pre-pandemic. This might have been like 2019 when the golfers were really good. Somehow my friends and I got into this weird tradition where we weren't watching the game together or tailgating or anything. But everybody before the game would send a video of doing a shot to everybody else.
Cool.
I don't know where that started. I don't know why it started. It just seemed like a good idea. Yeah. So it might have been 2019 the last time I had a shot.
That's a good tradition, unless one of your friends is an alcoholic, and then it's
very Then
it's, as far as I know, no. I see. I don't think any of them are, but this Gopher football season might turn us all into alcoholics.
Yeah,
so. Just Saturday is, you know, the group text thread. It's just despondent. Just the saddest people of all time texting. What are we doing? How is this happening?
Why am I not outside?
Yeah, I have a family. What am I doing with my life?
Where are my kids?
Right.
Yeah. What about you, Stu?
Stu's an empty nester. His last shot was 10 minutes ago.
No, it was a week and a half ago. Had a disco nap shot at the Nova Bar in Hudson, Wisconsin.
Okay. What's that?
That is a cold brew coffee made with tequila with some Maro and creme
de coco. That's not a real
creme
thing.
De coco in it. It's fantastic.
And so there actually is coffee in it. So it wakes you up a little bit.
Yeah, it's cold brew. It's cold brew, but instead of like water, it's made with agave tequila. Mezcal, I think. I'd have to look.
I'm going
to
do one of those now.
Yeah. Oh, and go to that bar, by the way. It's in the Casanova Liquor Building in Hudson, Wisconsin. My friend Brett just opened it up. It's very
Hey, I just went to Casanova. Well, not just went. Probably 6 months ago. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, great beer selection. But yeah, now they got a little bar attached to it too.
I did see the bar. I didn't go into it. I was hungover.
Yeah.
But I saw it.
Yeah, next time go there. And basically, and if you're like looking for a thing that's not Stillwater, the main street of Hudson is actually kind of cool. There's like a lot of bars and shop. I mean, there's more bars than there are in Stillwater, but it's a little more of a, it's a little less hoity-toity. It's a little more of a middle-class vibe than the Stillwater crowd is. So
yeah,
you can like wear a flannel basically. So
nice.
Yeah, so I recommend Hudson, Wisconsin, everybody. There's
I had two other hangover defense strategies that I was kind of working through. I don't think either of them are going to take. Number one is I was thinking maybe I just take like 15 minutes between rounds. Like maybe I don't have to have another beer immediately after I finish the one that I just did. Like, why can't I just take like a little bit of a break there?
You want to have something in your hands. You want to do with your hands.
This is the most unreasonable strategy I've ever heard of.
I know it is, but if you think about it, like one thing I hate is like sobering up like while awake. You know, like, I don't like day drinking and then it's like, well, now I'm going to be done now. Well, no, your whole day is over. You have to go to bed now. Yep. So I understand the concept of like you start drinking, you just kind of have to keep drinking, but you don't need to keep drinking like chain drinking. Like chain smoking, like one after the other. You can, you know, because I do bar crawls every once in a while and you do have that 15 minutes between bars. That's very helpful. So I was thinking maybe I just do that. But you're right, John. That's never going to take.
No.
The other one.
By the way, I just want to back up where you said that you don't like sobering up while you're awake. That's the best.
Nah? What?
Like,
no.
John.
If you, the hell you talking start about? If you start early in the morning, but then you can be completely sober by the time it's time to go to bed, oh, that's great.
Yeah, but go to bed, it's 3 p.m, right?
Yeah.
No. If you're drinking and then there's a good reason to stop drinking at 4 o'clock or whatever. And
then you go to sleep immediately.
No, you don't go to sleep immediately. You just wait till a normal time to go to bed.
Whoa.
And then you don't. It's great.
Do you need like
a phantom zone there, though? John?
Do you I mean, I guess you can just like nod at me and say no. Do you do like a bunch of cocaine afterwards? Or so? How do you stay awake, no. John?
Cocaine.
Oh, wow. You really nodded a lot vigorously.
Yeah.
Do you just do like do you do a coffee or something after the drinks? Because I would just fall asleep and I don't like being all kind of fuzzed out. Sort of drunk. That's a bad feeling to me.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I've tried this maybe once in my whole entire life, but I was very happy.
I can see now again getting drunk early, but not drunk, but like getting a nice day buzz is fantastic. I love that.
You know what?
When this is low maintenance, like a seltzer every 45 minutes or something would be to me like a real sweet spot.
This is come into play for me. On the first day of the NCAA basketball tournament.
Oh, yep.
Where you get really excited. It's 11:10 in the morning when the first game tips off.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten overexcited, had three heavily laden Bloody Marys or something like that. And, you know, it's the second half of that first round of games. You got kind of one eye closed. Mm-hmm. And then
dusk. It's not even dark out.
Yeah. It's barely finished getting light out and you're already... but then just getting sort of your wits about you and saying, you know, this has two ways this is going to go. Either I'm going to stop right now and by bedtime, everything's going to be fine, or I'm going to have the worst day of my life tomorrow. There are no, there's no in between between those two things.
Yeah. But when you're sober, you could tell your drunk self that. But when you're drunk, I think you're thinking like, I'm fine.
No,
I'm not going to have a bad day tomorrow.
I think I make better choices than that.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how.
Well, the King of France is here, everybody. Smartest man on earth. Gee, I didn't know we were among royalty. I make better decisions than that, pal.
Next basketball tournament, we're going to try this on a Thursday, and we'll just see how you do, Brandon.
Okay, we're going to do the John plan. We're having three Bloody Marys and then a cup of coffee, and then we're going home to our families. Is that what we're doing?
Probably some naps in there. I don't know. Are you a nap guy, Brandon?
Well, I mean, I'm a drunk nap guy. But again, when I wake back up, I'm not refreshed. The whole day, the whole night is just a fog.
Mm. Yeah, you're probably right about this. Let's be
honest.
Second
strategy that I thought about doing is just stop drinking at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
You can be drunk after 10 p.m. You'll still be drunk for a long time. I mean, obviously, you'll be drunk for hours afterwards. You just don't need to have any more drinks after 10 p.m. You think that would take?
if you have the presence of mind to order a club soda, then maybe. But do you have that presence of mind?
No, no. And here's the I know that I'm making myself sound like I drink like way too much. It's not.
We have been discussing your problem drinking for about 20 minutes now, Brandon.
Yes.
If this is a cry for help, it's very obvious.
It's a few times a year. But in those few times a year, I thought about setting an alarm on my phone for 10 p.m. And then it goes off. You go, oh, that's it. It's last call. I just set last call for myself. What do you think?
Well, here's the thing. I'm guessing if you're anything like me, at this point, any time in which you're going to be drinking for an extended period of time, Stu, this might not apply to you because your kids are out of the house, but anytime you're going to be drinking for an extended period of time, it's probably an event of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wedding, or you're getting together with your friends that you haven't seen for a long time, or you're on vacation or something like that.
Yep.
And
yeah, I'm never just a random drunk. That never happens to me ever.
It's not just like a Saturday.
No. Yeah. That's 3-4 beers. That's plenty. That's insane.
I'm just saying it's often hard to make the correct call because you're trying to celebrate and you don't want the celebration to be over.
Right. So that 10 o'clock isn't going to work either. Damn it. Okay, back to the original strategy. Only three good beers. That's
eat a lot. Eat a lot. You have three good beers.
And then go volume. We're just going volume beers after that.
And when people say they want to do shots, you take out your driver's license and you look at your birth year. Mm-hmm. And if it starts with a 1 and a 9 and any number 8 or lower, you don't do it.
You excuse yourself to take a phone call or go to the bathroom or both.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You have a work Zoom that you have to join.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This has been helpful. Okay. Thank you. This has been Drinking with Stu.
Happy
segment over. On to Stu's top 6.
Oh, hey. Yeah. We got a top 6 this week, everybody. And that's fun. Becoming one of our, I think, probably our most acclaimed by critics segment.
That's right. I think it's all overtaken John role playing and Bros and Turds.
Yes, it's there. And this will be, I think this is actually another thing that's going to really be in John's wheelhouse here. These are the top 6 cities in Swift County, Minnesota.
All right, let's hear it.
Number 6, Danvers. It's the home of Dan Hammond, who is the voice of U of M girls hockey. I don't know if anyone else knew that or not, but
no, he's from Danvers.
Yeah, he's from Danvers. He was on my dormitory floor at St. Cloud State. So
Danvers is the only. It's not the kind of town you have to slow down for, but it's west of Benson. It's between Benson and Ortonville on Highway 12, and that is a 41-mile stretch of Highway 12. And no one has ever driven it in less than 3.5 hours. It's the longest 41 miles in the entire world. The earth, you leave Benson And Ortonville's not a big town. It doesn't have big buildings, but you can see Ortonville on the horizon. The earth is so flat. It's you can see the curvature of the earth, and then there's Ortonville. You can see the power plant off in the distance. It's just the longest time of your life, and Danvers is the only thing that comes close to breaking that up.
The only thing I know about Danvers, because I just Googled it, is there's something called Judicial Ditch Number 80 is in Danvers.
It's a good ditch. It's a good ditch.
Number 80.
Yep.
But number one in your hearts. Mm-hmm. Judicial.
Yep.
Okay.
Number I swear five. I said those words correctly.
It's not, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Number five, Benson.
Benson.
It's fine. Benson is fine.
It's got a subway. It's got a gas station.
It's got my great grandparents were born there.
Yeah. All right.
Uh-huh.
It's born got a great, it's got a great dentist office, Blue Stem Dental, run by one of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Number four, Kirkhoven.
Ooh.
No Murdoch, no Sundberg. They know why.
Just Kirkhoven.
Just Kirkhoven. I don't think Sundberg is actually in Swift County, but Murdoch is. But fuck Murdoch.
Sundberg's not a real town.
Yeah. It's yeah. They just throw that on there because you need that for the school thing. They get more tax money that way, I think.
Kirkhoven has a Mexican restaurant. Pretty cool.
That's amazing. What?
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Brandon.
Yeah. Number three.
Got good ratings.
Yep. Number three, Appleton.
Appleton.
It's home, that is the home of former twin Jerry Koosman, who went to jail for tax fraud.
No, the Koos?
The Koos.
Can I tell you a story involving Appleton?
And tax
Appleton,
fraud?
Appleton, well, you probably. Appleton's part of Lacaparo Valley High School. Mm-hmm. One of the many schools near Ortonville, and it's co-op between Appleton and Milan and a couple other towns, Madison. And when they were combining all these high schools into Lacaparo Valley, they couldn't decide which town should get the high school. So what they did in a shining example of logic and compromise is they put it out in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of nowhere. It's closer to Dawson than it is to any of the towns that are in the high school. So congratulations, Appleton.
Yeah, Dassel Cokato did that. They just put it right in between Dassel and Cokato in the middle of nowhere. It's just by a grain elevator. It makes no sense. Yeah. You people, figure
Appleton's,
out.
Appleton's, figure it out. Appleton's vape shop is called Bad Apples.
Good. That's that. Again, people are learning things tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mostly
it's an educational segment.
Mostly on how not to fight a hangover. Number two, Holloway. Population 92.
I know nothing about Holloway.
They have a post office.
Wow.
It was named after one of the early settlers whose last name was Holloway.
Bob Post Office.
Bob Post Office Holloway. Five-time All-Star for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm kidding. None of that made sense. Oh, and we're finally on to number one. My personal favorite. And again, these are not scientific, but they are correct. Clontarf.
I knew it. I knew Clontarf was going to be number one.
The haters are going to disagree, but the real heads know.
Yes.
We love the tarf here at the Sporting
If you podcast. Know, you know. Yep. Clontarf represent.
We celebrate the tarf.
Clontarf. This is because of the name, right?
Of course it is. It's Clontarf.
Backwards, it's Fratnalf. It's basically just as weird sounding.
Yeah, Clontarf.
It was named after one of the early settlers.
Funny names are funny. Clontarf wins.
164 people.
Well, that's almost twice as much as Holloway.
It's big. Big.
The tarf. So, anyway, that's your top six for the week, everybody.
Really big loss for Benson coming in at number five.
Yeah,
I know.
There's a lot of competition out there in the sticks. So
Benson's got to look itself in the face and figure out what it's doing wrong.
Bad PR. Bad PR.
Figure
reps.
It out, Benson.
Yeah, I'll talk to my family. I still got some roots there. I got some people.
You may not want to say that because I think there's also like in Murdoch or Sundberg, there's like a white supremacist church.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that's why Murdoch didn't get in, by the way.
Racking my brain thinking about my extended family members and who I suspect might be. Yeah, there's some suspects.
Everyone from outstate knows
we all have a couple
a
that maybe
out there who's expressed some opinions that are.
They read a couple of the wrong Facebook posts and like, all the sheets are missing.
Yeah. You ask them where they were on January 6th and they won the cop. So, yeah. It's not great. It's not a good time in rural America, no. But that's a whole other podcast. And we're trying to be happy here. The Vikings are 5-1. We're talking about Clontarf. Brandon was in New York for 8 days, drunk as hell, but no throwing up.
Mm-hmm. John's. I did. My friend did.
Team is better. Yeah. Stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Brandon, a good time. I have a New York City question for you.
Yes,
you're
please.
In New York City. Loved you're in it. New York City. It's obviously the biggest town in the world. Mm-hmm. How do you decide what to do for an evening?
Right.
There's
right.
too many options.
There are too many options. I really think that you should think less about what the city has to offer and think more about what makes you personally happy. Because whatever you want,
sitting in a room
you
by
can
myself.
Get. Well, John, they have some of the best sitting in a room by yourself places in the whole country. Now, if you are a very fancy, musical, loving Italian food person, the best place you could ever go to is New York City. And it's got the best show, tune, plays, whatnot, and the most incredible expensive Italian shit you've ever had. If you're a person who likes to see celebrities, there's a bunch of places you could go do that. If you like to do very like historical, I want to know about the history of the United States. Well, there's a shitload of that in New York as well. Also, if you want to be a huge dirtball and have meals that cost under $5, New York City can be the cheapest shit in the entire country. It is so cheap. You can walk everywhere. It's whatever you want it to be. So I don't think about like when you go to Nashville, you go to Broadway and you walk down the streets and you listen to music and you drink beers and you sit on patios. That's what you do in Nashville. There's a couple other things here and there, but that's mostly like, that's what you do. And that's awesome. Super fun. New York is you figure out what you like and what you want to do. I mean, we went to New York for a March Madness and just hung out eating wings. It was a couple years ago, probably 3-4 years ago, eating wings in sports bars. And we had the time of our fucking
I want to believe that you this went time, to Buffalo Wild Wings.
You did a little bit more of like, let's go see like the West Village. Let's go see Central Park. Let's go see the High Line. And just kind of, I don't know. I've been there enough where I kind of know where I'm going and what I'm doing. And we like to go over to Brooklyn, a lot of hipsters. I will say this time we also went to Madison Square Garden for a Knicks game. That was not quite a bucket list, but it was really, really, really fun. Very cool. And the second most interesting thing was looking at what people are wearing in Brooklyn these days.
What are people wearing in Brooklyn these days?
I have never seen anything in my life so chaotic and unhinged as people dressing in Brooklyn. Every single person looked wildly different from the person next to them. There was absolutely no through line of what they were wearing. The only way I can say it is if you walked into your closet and it was pitch black and you had to grab articles of clothing and bring them out and put them on and you had to wear them around the city. That's how people looked. They all looked like they got dressed completely in the dark and had no idea what the occasion was. There were women in like Lululemon joggers and a trench coat and high heels. That shit doesn't make any sense to me. Dudes in like purple t-shirts and ripped flannels and then like short shorts and like, I don't know, Doc Martens.
It's like clothing madness.
Wearing like a Dodgers hat. But fucking nuts. So I love that. Just the chaos of it all. Yeah, that's my opinion about New York. I think it's, if you like planning and exploring, there's nothing more fun than New York. It is just, there's so many different vibes that you get in a different day. Just culture on culture on culture. It's just the best ever. But if you're a person who kind of likes your entertainment kind of like there for you, I can see New York being like pretty exhausting. I would probably suggest like stay in this neighborhood all day and then go to this neighborhood all day and don't go out do other stuff. And we were taking subway, Uber, we took bikes over the bridge. I mean, we did a lot of stuff. So I love it though. Every time I go, it's an absolute like unforgettable time. That's my New York review.
I wish I was young and cool like you, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Nope. We're a bunch of old dads. Mm-hmm. That's why we spent half an hour in this episode talking about my hangovers.
What are you going to do?
You're cool for a couple years.
I know.
It's over
your
now.
Friends, you've got cool friends who are like, let's go to New York. My friends are like, we should go to Brainerd for the weekend.
I went to Hudson, Wisconsin. So, yeah.
We're going to Breezy Point. We're going to the Commander. Here we go.
Is Commander still open?
Oh, yeah.
I honestly don't know.
My friends were just there 2 weeks ago.
Good God.
Yep. Yep. Classic.
Oh.
You know, yeah. The reason that my friends and I like New York is they don't have to plan anything, and I just cart them around, and I get to feel very smart for having things be pulled off correctly. And that's very important to me in my old age to have a little bit of validation because I'm
so what insecure. I just learned here is that I want to go to New York, but I'm taking Brandon with me and then I'm going to have the time of my life.
Yeah. If you tell me what you like, yes. If not, we're in trouble.
All right, Brandon, I want to go to Madison Square Garden and otherwise I don't want to leave the hotel room.
I like sports and a good bedtime. Can you can you hook me up, Pete?
Can you accommodate?
9 p.m. We're going to drink from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day and then have a cup of coffee and be done.
You know what? That sounds awesome. That sounds so fun.
Seriously, that's made my heart sing.
Uh-huh. Yep. That would be one of the greatest things ever. Okay, cool. We're well over our allotted time.
Oh shit, yeah. Jesus.
I had so much fun. That was great. Good talking to you.
Thanks for coming
again.
Back.
Yeah, I came back.
Skull Vikings.
Skull, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.